You're listening to the RRR podcast.
Welcome to the RRR podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 16.
What is a common driver? They're the defenders of the street. They cruise and they're like, broom. I don't know why that sounds like the Cookie Monster, but the Cookie Monster's got to drive too.
Maybe a little too far on that one.
Nope.
You kept rambling. You just kept going.
That's the show.
The car just kept going. And we
have a whole extra R to fill out now. The shirt's confused people.
Ropers.
There's three R's. Why are there four of you?
Aerosol, this is awkward. Can you go stand over there somewhere else? Just, yeah. We got at least, like, 5 Team Rocket mentions, like, way more than last time. Like, we would just casually pass by people and I'd hear, Team Rocket! Like, just, I don't know who said it, but, like, just somebody around us.
Mike started a trend.
Speaking of, they forgot to invite him. What the hell? I looked all over for him.
And we still never found Matt Mullins.
That slippery little fuck. Apparently you have to walk around with your Gabba revolver in your hand like a douchebag to find him. Seriously, what are you, a sheriff? What's your problem?
Did he not have a table?
I never saw anything. Granted, I wasn't there the whole
time. I never saw anything either.
Because, yeah, the only time I saw him was at the panel that he was in for the stunts, of all things. But
yeah, I have no idea. I never seen him. I wasn't in those panels, so the only time I saw him was when we were in the registration line.
And he just looked like a normal fan. Like, he had a little backpack and everything. It was adorable. I should have just ran up to him.
That's how Felix Ryan looked.
Yeah. He got stopped by that super annoying guy.
I passed him in the hall. I'm like, man, that's a Dynamite Spike costume. I didn't think it was the real guy.
Aerosol kept running into people all weekend, like, right in the face.
Hey, man, that's a good cosplay. Felix just like, what?
Someone Ward had a sweet Keith Justice cosplay. Didn't even have to do anything.
So moving along into the one-up, since we're kind of invading them already. What?
Excuse me.
You're excused. So obviously, besides WarforCon happening, I mean, not a whole lot's going on. I bought a couple Transformers. I got a little Silver Ranger who badly needs some paint.
The second wave is actually a lot better than the first one. The first one looked way crappier.
That's what's sad. That's really about. I mean, I don't got anything spectacular, so.
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I haven't seen a whole lot of that one, so I apologize.
Theme song is awesome.
Got it. And I can't really say I bought a whole lot at MorphCon either, because it was all autographs and an art book. That's all I bought. I bought that little the gold book and red vinyl because I felt bad for it. I'm like, don't go back to Japan. You stay here, and I bought it.
You stay here with me.
So he's my new. Well, nothing. I didn't open him yet. He's just still sitting here. I got the first wave of World of Nintendo 2.5-inch figures, because I want down the aisle and to Toys R Us and was like, buy one, get one 40% off? Well, okay. And I bought them all. Cool story, right?
Thrilling. It's amazing. That was better than an entire Morphicon trip.
I know, right?
Yep.
But yeah, so... Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have much either. Most of my purchases were also autographs. I think the only toy I actually bought was the Figure Arts Baron from Mr. S. And I haven't really done much at all since I got back. The only thing I bought was The Amazing Spider-Man 2 because it came out like the day before I left, so I never got to buy it. And that's pretty much it. I got to watch all the shows early, so I was pretty happy to be home. I was like, there's so much stuff to watch that I didn't watch it the first night because I was too exhausted. But that I watched really hard.
Oh, man. Good thing I
don't look in that mirror. It's furious.
I get to watch TV now.
Got to catch a flight. Doctor Who's on. kidneys. And I just ran out. Got a dinosaur to flirt with. But there's all kinds of them downstairs.
I bought a bag of Cracker Jack.
What was the surprise?
It was... Cavities. Hold on, I got it right here. A sticker.
Oh, man.
For some baseball team that I didn't know existed. they're little birdies. So, that's a thing. 100 years and they can't get better toys.
The team's called Little Birdies?
No, it's...
Oh.
I don't know how to pronounce the name. Orioles?
Oh, the Orioles.
Areola.
Orioles. they're just a little birdies.
They are. Olé.
So that's a thing. I tried going to Walmart for literally anything because my internet's been out, and that was depressing because my local Walmart is shit.
Went to Walmart for sport. Didn't need a pastime. Went to a couple Walmarts today. It was pretty awful. At least it's not Kmart.
Kmart's the worst. Burbank Airport. The Kmart Airport. It's so nice, though. It's like, it's so easy. It's all in one little room.
Yay!
Hey, Burbank Airport, and they had a shirt there that said Burbank instead of California or Hollywood, so I bought it. True story.
The Burbank guys were so nice to me. Well, for starters, Kevin and I got randomly screened because we look shifty. We walk up and they're like, "Are you two together?" They're like, "Yeah." Okay, this way. And he just, like, wipes down our hands, and then that's it. And then I walk up to the guy, and I tell him about my leg. And unlike the Chicago people who yelled at me to get back in line, the Burbank guys were like, "Oh, man, do you want to go through the body scanner?" I'm like, "Sure."
So, sounds neat.
And I walk through... And the guy running it is like, "Oh, can you step out for a second? I gotta turn it on. We never get to use it." So, I think they just really wanted to use the body scanner for once.
I told you, the Kmart of airports. I think the reason they flagged you is because they thought Kevin was me. They're like, "Bro, this guy was here yesterday." There's no way. This is impossible. We gotta check it out. Run a DNA test.
It was funny because me and Kat were not too far behind you. And so we're going through and they're like, "Well, go through here." And it was the express line. And they're like, "Oh, we're doing random checks today." So Kat went through and they wiped her hand too. And then so I'm waiting there expecting to get my hand wiped. And he just pushed me through. He's just like, "You can go." I'm like, "Okay."
In the security on the way into the DIA, like everyone was doing that, you know, body scanner, raise your hands up, and the guy waves me past. I'm like, "Oh, great, I'm going to get groped." And like, I was ready, like, "All right, get up in there." And he was like, and then he just kept waving me, like he just let like three people just pass it. And I'm like, I was ready. It's relieved. but ready.
I'm ready for the grope.
I also love that Kevin and I went to the little ticket machines. He got his tickets before I did, and he was in B group, and then I got my tickets and was in A group again. All weekend, I was in A group. Special
plane powers. Like, I don't get it. Like, I really don't get how it works. Like, I thought it was supposed to be when you claim your ticket, but evidently not.
Evidently, they don't give a fuck, and it's just random.
Well, they're so lucky.
Kevin's one-ups are somewhere in ours, so that's what he's been up to. Went home, played with a kid, bought a onesie that said the last kicker. You'll figure out why later.
why is that funny to me? I don't know. I don't know. I know I sent him Ranger keys. I found the MMPR set B and Lost Galaxy key sets for him. So I sent those to him. He found Rat Trap and I wanted to punch him. California only had Tank Gore and I didn't want to pay the price for Tank Gore.
Tank Gore?
That's a fun story too. There was no running to targets this year.
There was just one. The fastest Brian ran the whole weekend was when that beetle fucking attacked us. he was out.
That thing was huge, though. Like, that was the size of that beetle thing that Link used in Skyward Sword.
It was!
Like, that was, like, for real.
It was revenge for my Skyward Sword review.
It was. I don't know why that's a thing.
Anyway, nudes?
Yep, there's a lot.
A bunch of drive stuff, basically.
Yeah, based on the title. Don't just do this for fun, folks.
Well, we do, but...
Well, just... Okay.
Where do you even begin? There's like...
Well, the suit pictures came out. Yep. I saw a slightly less blurry one during Morphicon, and then we've now been seeing a bunch of clear ones, and now that we've seen a really clear one, I really like it a lot. Like, I love the way the helmet is. Like, they're headlights, and I love the mouthpiece, and I dig the tire sash, and it just, even despite it having this bulky tire sash, I think it looks kind of sleek looking.
Yeah.
The tire sash is weird, because when you're looking at it from, like, a straight view, it doesn't look that cumbersome. But then when you, like, tilt a little bit and actually get, like, a full profile of the suit, and you see that it's actually, like, a legitimate, like, size tire, then you're like, whoa. But, like, from a front view,
whoa, baby.
It does look... It does. I agree with you. It does look sleek.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome suit. I like it a lot.
The faceplate is really cool. It's very techy.
It is.
Yeah.
I really dig the helmet. I give and take for the rest of the suit, but yeah, I love the helmet.
And the belt talks. And I was like, oh my god, that's so innovative. And then I remembered Kivat and Kivat the Second.
Yeah.
And Cigar.
Anything from Kiva.
Yeah, except for the Ixabel, which, I mean, yeah, it didn't talk to anyone. It was mute.
I
just said ready a lot.
Yeah, I saw that because in the article, that was in the same one where they revealed that the main character is a policeman, which is pretty neat. But I saw that his partner is a talking belt. I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I remembered, oh, wait, one of my favorite shows is about a kid whose, you know, secret agent partner is a talking cell phone. So I guess it's not that weird.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that kind of thought of that. I don't think the belt's going to get up and walk around, which is a shame. But
well, and, you know, even though it has been done before with Kiva, it's still something that's not done that often, so I think it could be kind of neat.
And apparently the belt's voiced by, like, a Canadian guy or something. So.
Hey!
It's definitely not something you would expect, just looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it doesn't have eyes or anything. Where's its mouth?
But yeah, like I said, he's a cop this time around, which I think is kind of neat. I like the idea of having our main character be in law enforcement and already being kind of like an official.
I think it's got a lot of potential. I mean,
Yeah, all of the plot details sounded pretty interesting. And even how the enemies work, like they're like in the computer and they don't have physical forms, except for like the higher ups.
The overlords, if you will. They invade you through the internet.
They're like computer viruses, but for real. Computer STDs. But I don't know, it just sounds, a lot of the stuff just sounds really interesting.
It kind of reminds me of some the conversation. Weird mix between like just kind of like a usual Rider character, but then you're mixing it with I'm reminded a little bit of like the police force from Agito.
Oh yeah, the G3.
Yeah, like not so much like flat out police, but a special unit that does weird virus busting stuff. I don't know what they do, but I'm getting sidetracked by his helmet. It is really cool. One other thing I really like is the tire sash changes.
I guess they're like armaments.
Cool.
For
the win.
With the task force thing. So his task force is like sanctioned by the police.
Right.
Okay, because like when it first came out, before like the plot details today, it almost seemed like he'd be working for the police and then secretly be driving at the same time, which could have been funny. But yeah, that's interesting. It's like G3.
It says, standing in their way, there being the Roy Mudo, I think is how you say it, standing in their way are the Tokyo MPD's special unit, whose latest recruit, Shinosuke, gains the ability to fight them as Commander Drive, yada yada yada. So, from what I gather, it's fully sanctioned by the Tokyo Metropolitan Police.
Tokyo's are like, we need help, we suck. We need an armored rider. Wonder if they'll call them armored riders again.
Probably not.
There's only one of them. This is clearly a one rider show right now.
Providing they call him anything.
Not even gonna call him Drive, he's just, hey you. Red.
But I like the little team that they got going. I think as long as like the secondary characters I don't want to say Gaim level, because Gaim is such a weird exception to everything, but like as long as like the rest of the police force can be important characters, and at least characters that you can appreciate, I think it could be pretty good. And the staff that they have on the show is
long.
Got a pretty good. What?
I have to beat Kevin while he's not here.
Okay. They got a pretty good track record. Riku Sanjo's writing again.
So he's just gonna write every episode, lock himself in again?
Possibly. I don't.
I actually didn't see that. Huh?
Yeah, Riku Sanjo's writing. So
his brother Ore also.
This is his first time main writing since Double. I mean, he wrote for Forze, but he wasn't the main writer. I don't know much about like directors or anything, but it's just usual toku fare in there. And the theme song is being done by Kamen Rider Eternal, which is amazing.
It's being done by a zombie.
Zombies are actually make the best singers, so.
Zombies are actually make the best? I didn't even got that.
That all starts on October 5th, so.
As I mentioned on Twitter, I'm kind of curious if it's going to be in the sort of Gaim, older Hesse style of, you know, more serialized, or if we're going to go back to normal. I know you said you heard rumors it might be two or three parters.
I've heard a lot of things, but
including from GoBusters.
I see nothing to confirm anything, but I've heard that they might go back to two-parters, and then I heard somewhere saying that they might do three-parters because they want to embrace the idea of police investigation
procedurals. Yeah. I was gonna say, while I'm not like super psyched about returning to that form, I do think that if it is like more police based and stuff like that, the multi-parter could actually kind of help it.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to a hybrid. Like, why not both? Like the taco girl says. Like, why can't we have, you know, we could have a string of like 12 episodes where it's kind of like Gaim and shit flows into each other, and then we could have a couple, two or three parter investigations. Like, I wouldn't mind that. Lots of shows do that, where they have an ongoing story that'll run for a long time, and then you'll get a bit of a break, and it'll be sort of standalone. So, it'll be, I'm just interested to see, because Gaim's writer specifically said that Toei wanted to go back to the older style of writing before, like, Deno and stuff started the two-parters. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious if maybe that didn't work out for them, or if it did, or whether they're just going to kind of mix it up. Because the press conference in general, where all the information gave me a much more, you know, double through wizard feel, but that's probably because there wasn't a bunch of fruit writers everywhere. They weren't telling me Greedon was going to be important. He's got like 5 episodes, man. He's got to hurry up. I hope his shining moment wasn't getting thrown at Michi.
But I think it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm hoping that if they do kind of like a two-parter thing, that there's either two-parters with a more dense overarching story, or like you said, mix it up. Have some that are singular episodes, some that are multi-parters. I don't know. You are right in the fact that they did tell them to write in an older style for Gaim. But yeah, like you said, I don't know how that was recepted.
Yeah.
In terms of the audience, I don't know if they want to go back or not. I'm hoping for either a Gaim style of storytelling, or at least a healthy mix, because
I kind of prefer that way. Yeah, I like that they recognize that the formula got stale after Wizard.
Right.
Because they had like the same placeholders, but like Buddy Roy, it's not right. Candroid counterparts and everything. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it though. I mean, everything right now between like the suit and all of the little details we have sounds good to me. So I'm still looking forward to it. And at least with Gaim being so different, I'm even more optimistic going in this year, just knowing that there's a good chance we won't get a standard formula. Yay! Hail Furbus. I don't know. That's a thing. Everyone's like Furbusing everywhere. I'm more on Team Furby, the original. Not the beast, the original.
Didn't Furbus come out first?
I actually don't know, but I'm still Team Furby. Furby's tried to make a comeback.
They're both creepy and they need to die.
They're like $1 million. I'm like, oh look, Furby came back. That's $100. Wait, what? How much is a Furby? The fuck? Does this thing make toast? Thanks, Gilmon. But yeah, that's, I think about it for writer news.
Writer.
Classic.
Kamen Rider.
Matt Mullins for American Drive.
Come on, guys, please.
Pull it together.
God's sakes.
Aerosol just slapping us. Pull it together, man. We've just begun. Okay, I guess that we could talk just quickly about the Dino Charge cast announcement, since that's sort of news.
There are people that exist.
They are people, and they are ethnic. Ethnic, there we go. Ethnic is not a word. People are making a skeptical about this. but yeah, they're a good-looking group of people. After I got to see them, after I was at the press conference, they announced that because people wouldn't sit down. And Blue, I believe it's Blue, is actually, he did suit work for Saban, like, you know, suit walking around for them at, like, conventions and stuff. But he's also a fan, I guess. He's on, like, yeah. Facebook Rangers and shit. So I'm like, oh, shit. So that's kind of neat.
He actually had a little bit of contact with Nosan earlier.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Like, I just seen that on, like, Ranger Crew or whatever. I think Change Dragon tweeted it first when I seen it. I think that's cool. Like,
I think it's cool that someone on Facebook Rangers is now a Power Ranger.
Because, like, a Japanese fan saw his post about, like, the Judenchi. and then tweeted it at No Sons Actor, and then No Sons Actor tweeted Yoshi, that's his name.
That's gonna be his catchphrase.
Good luck and everything like that, and so they communicate a little bit, and that's just kind of all around cool.
And, it is.
Like you said, it's neat to have someone that's definitely a fan in the show, because I mean he's talking about how Kyoriger's his favorite, and he knows everything that's going on, and he's a genuine fan of PR and Sentai, and I think that's really cool, because I mean you've got sometimes you have the actors going like, oh yeah, Power Rangers is awesome, and then it's like sometimes you just get the feeling like they just watched other seasons when they were casted so that they didn't sound like a tool.
Yeah.
But you know that's not the case with him. It's kind of neat, I think.
In general, the whole cast seems to be pretty excited about being Rangers. I mean, to be fair, all the Samurai and Megaforce cast all seem to be really proud of it. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily in like, oh, I watched whatever my counterpart was, but wherever they're on like social media or at events and whatnot, they just always seem to be really like happy that they were Rangers, and they're not really ashamed of it at all. So that's really nice. Well, I thought, at least for the last few years. And it's kind of continuing now. And I can't believe what a spitting image the Pink Ranger is of Amy. Looks just like her. It's like, how'd they do that? Oh, black is the new pink. I couldn't resist saying it. Because I've been banned from being a title, so I had to say it.
Though, speaking of similarities, what's
Daigo
his name, Brennan? Sure. Red's actor's got quite the Daigo going on.
It makes it easy for splicing footage, like, but that makes me wonder though, would they have similar civilian outfits, because Daigo wore the same thing the whole time, so
Saban likes that, he likes not changing clothes, so
well, but I can't think of a time where they, well, I guess with the exception of the Silver Guardians, because they did the same thing with Eric because he looked similar, with the exception of that, I can't think of a time that like the Rangers wore a civilian outfit that was really close to the Sentai civilian outfit.
Yeah, we'll see. It could just
be a coincidence.
Be what they did. It might not mean anything, really.
Maybe it was just like subconsciously they did it because they just kept looking at pictures of Daigo or something. I don't know. They're huge fans of Daigo, and everyone's probably mad now.
They were really looking at that. They were looking, staring really hard at that scene where he had no shirt.
Man, Daigo's even taking focus away from the Dino Charge press conference. God, what a jerk! Wait, that's not Daigo. Sorry, bro. Just some dude.
That's really about it from Morphicon news. We did apparently get confirmation that there are more Ranger keys coming.
Yeah, that's what they said. Raz is like flipping out. I can't find them. Sorry, Raz. I don't know if that's what you sound like, but yeah, we all got those little inserts with our swag bags. So, and they keep saying it. So. Oh, he did point out, though, it could come in the form of blind packs, which is a possibility. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would just do one last set and say, here, it's just called here. That's all it's called. And then you just get rid of it and it's be over.
Because, I mean, all they really said was that the keys shown at Comic-Con will be released sometime around October. That's all they said. They didn't say how. So,
or why?
The big topic now is Ranger Keys coming with clothes.
Can you imagine?
It's Japan all over again. That's what they did.
Oh, well. We'll find out soon enough, I guess. What does it remind me of? Oh, it reminds me of that when they passed out like DVDs or something at Comic-Con, right when Saban bought Power Rangers back, and they're like, reruns coming next month, and then it was like a year and a half before they finally hit.
Yeah,
that's what it reminds me of. Like, it's like they're telling us it's happening now, but then nothing ever happens.
I remember that. That was an ordeal.
It was. And then they did too much reruns, and now they do none. So they have a horrible balancing problems.
I'm waiting for the cries of Wright stealing all the focus in Tokichi, because he's the only one getting hyper, apparently.
People are so selective about this stuff.
They don't care about Wright taking the focus because no one likes Tokuji.
It's like with the Miznik Vorce thing. Andros took up all of in space, which I didn't have a problem with, and Leo's running around douching up the whole screen in Lost Galaxy, but no one says anything.
God. Exactly.
Exactly.
Douching up the whole
screen. He is. What a douche, making me spaz out in the middle of...
Douching what?
Danny Leo. Slavin.
Oh, Danny Slavin, of course it's a douche.
It's a douche, making me spaz out over someone I don't even care about.
His name's Danny.
How dare you look at me?
How dare you, Danny?
Wait, what did you do? Did he fuck your mother?
You were there.
I don't remember what Danny Slavin did.
Never mind.
Danny Slavin. I don't remember him like walking up to me and being like, "Hey, fucker." I'm like, "Oh, Danny Slavin, you fucking douchebag."
That's what I saw.
Like, I don't remember that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what event you were at. That's what I saw.
Oh, when he was at the hotel, moving the elevator? Yeah, I had to think about, wait, when did I run into Danny Slavin? Because I didn't go up to his table. I was like, you're not important enough for my time. Like fucking Carter, you're not important enough for my time. You're just here. I mean, Zeron can fap over you, and that's fine. That's what he wants to do, but... Me? No thank you, sir. No thank you. Carter is the best Red Ranger ever. Go, go!
Okay.
I don't know why the go.
I think it's time we move on.
Wait, what's happening? I don't know what we're talking about, except Danny Slavin.
There's the new segment called Danny's Corner.
We're on the part that you announced.
Wait, that I'm what?
Superhero time.
Okay. Superhero time. Tokuja. Shupa. Shinko. Kamen Rider Gaim.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
Yes, but. Classic Cass.
So we're on Tokuja or something or other.
Yep. This was a very, as Brian said before we started, kind of run-of-the-mill episode, mostly filler-ish, with the exception of a little bit towards the end.
Like,
yeah.
It was really disappointing coming after like so many really good episodes of the show to go back to this like nonsensical nonsense.
To be fair, the previews didn't exactly make it out to look like anything other than that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting much.
I got kind of bored halfway through, and I was like, is this over yet?
I got bored before halfway through.
Well, I didn't actually time it.
I don't think it was a bad episode. It's just, it's filler. That's basically it.
The highlight of the episode is that the Emperor's new clothes was Shinken Brown.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Someone told me that.
I like this episode now.
And I mean the bit with Tokati and his brother was a nice little small sliver of backstory, but
his brother is a superhero.
That was really.
I think it'd be kind of nice if that's where the memories start to take him a bit more, instead of. Oh, Takati made up a superhero once. No, it was based on his brother, and his brother was really important to him.
And it would be cool to have the series go in more progression to where, like you said, the memories are relevant and character driven, or like bits of backstory or something like that, as opposed to the kind of very non-important memories we were getting before. Oh, Mio made a big fluffy thing one time. Okay.
And to its credit, this definitely was kind of Takati focus towards that latter half, where he finally did just say, you know, if I stop fumbling around like an idiot, I could probably be pretty effective.
If I stop being stupid, we might get stuff done. And sure enough, I succeeded.
And they kind of continued with the little, I don't know what to call it, relationship with him and Mio, I guess.
Penis.
That just kind of comes and goes.
Well, this is like the second episode it's been in.
Exactly. I don't know. it would be interesting to see if where that goes, if that even goes. I mean, relationships butt on these shows and then end up going nowhere sometimes. So we'll see. I forgot what the next week.
I'm uncomfortable now when I hear Aristotle's voice. I can picture him.
Okay. Something about
the image I have of what he looked like in my head is gone now. It's like when you see a movie of a book you read, it's pissing me off.
What?
Just nod. That's all I do.
You can't even see me nod.
I can hear the nodding.
I know what the nodding looks like.
Can you move on now?
Penis, sure. penis.
I'm having, like, PTSD.
You loved sleeping with me and you know it.
He just said penis all night in his sleep.
You stole the blankets.
Literally, he just took off with them. He packed them in a suitcase and left. He's like, these are some nice linens.
I hear that at home, too. You steal the blanket. Well, be stronger in your sleep.
Be stronger.
Okay, let's move on. I got some bones to pick with Gaim this week.
This week.
Yay.
So, Gaim is the one was where like, Rihanna like goes, hey, I have Aloxi in a drawer I haven't used. You want it?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is that what happened?
There's my bone.
That's one of the things that happened.
Oh, my bone's in your mom.
I thought that it was gonna be like a counterpart to the golden fruit. And it was just like, oh yeah, I forgot I have a fucking cyanide lock seed. We were like, what if we use cyanide? And they're like, oh, it didn't work.
Cyanide arms.
I like how he was like, it hurts people when they try to use it, so I locked it away. It was in your drawer.
There's no lock on that drawer.
And how many people have just been, or people, invests have just been coming in and out of that place? It's been open for weeks.
When did they get there? Like, didn't they go to a hospital?
Yes.
Well, why was it there? Was that his hospital?
Yes.
Wait.
I don't know. Everything.
I'm just going to keep saying yes and hope it's correct.
Maybe it was in his pocket, and he's like, oh, look, it's in his drawer. You want to bang me?
Yes. And then we noticed while watching it, we're like, the back of that Kiwi helmet isn't even painted.
I know.
Not.
They didn't care.
It's just, it's all brown. Like, the rest of the suit's red. And
that was my bigger issue, was, you know, the whole Hell Lock Seed could have been cool and the kind of transformation was neat, but it's just the same suit repainted. It's not that interesting. If it was a different suit, I'd feel a lot stronger towards it.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest gripes too. Is like, it's like, oh, this is all powerful lock seed that could kill you because of health fruit, and it's just great mashed with kiwi, colored different sometimes.
And it's kind of like a slightly more evil version of the Life Force Megazord. That's all it is.
Oh, God. That's just funny.
The Life Force Megazord had a little bit more effort put into it.
Like, I didn't expect it to debilitate him so often. I thought it was going to be more like he transforms and then detransforms and he's like, oh, my arm. But this one, he would be like, shoot, shoot, shoot. Oh! Like, every 3 seconds. It's like, man. How is this better than Shin Zangetsu?
Answer, it's not. Also, penis.
I like what it represents. But the execution, it feels so...
It was not Spirit Evolution.
Like, it's so worse than when Baron Lemon. Baron Lemon is something that I could believe to be planned.
Yeah, because it doesn't... I mean, it was slapped together quickly, but it doesn't look like...
this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it looked like it could have been a real thing. But, it is a real thing, you know what I mean, like from the beginning. It seems like there's a lot of last-minute things going on. We've been jammed. Just the whole thing.
Gaim's doing this weird thing where I don't know what was planned and what was last-minute.
I can't really tell anymore.
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, often these writer shows, the writers have to deal with having to work in all of these toys. And Wizards suffered from that a lot. And even Gaim, you know, had to make sure to work in certain things at the beginning, like Kiwi Arms, which we never saw beyond, like, the first time. And I think it's funny that writer shows, especially the last 5 years, have to find a way to write in all these upgrades, and yet now they're needing to write in upgrades that weren't pre-planned for merchandise, which I think is really funny. Like, it's the complete opposite. Like, I think that's kind of hilarious. Like, with the exception of Baron, which was midway through, it's all on the back end, too, with, stuff like Jammed and this Matsubokuri arm. What is his arm's name?
Your Matsuheguri.
Yeah, sure. It's evil grape. Sour grape arm. And so I just think that's a really funny reverse of it. And like I said, I thought it would have been cooler if it would have been like an evil counterpart to the Golden Fruit in a way, like that maybe Sagara gave to him. Speaking of Sagara, he is the forest. We found that out.
Yeah, that's the thing that happened. Like, that was weird. I wasn't expecting that. Like, I am Elheim.
And he just, like, turned into vines and, like, moved around the room. He's like, see?
That's creepy.
So that's really interesting. I actually honestly never expected that. It seems like one of those dumb things I should have expected.
Yeah, he's like, let's go around and we cause evolution because we're bored.
Like, I remember we talked about maybe he was from a different civilization that also had this. I thought maybe he might have been in charge of it somehow, but I never expected him to be some sort of, like, AI for the forest. So that's definitely interesting, and it sort of gave a face to Helheim as an enemy, because before they made it sound like I think we had a discussion about it, too, where it seemed like it was just a parasite. That it just, you know, it grew, it really had no control over it, with the exception of the overlords. It grew because that's how things happen. But now apparently it has a motivation to force societies to evolve. And
yeah. In that way, he still doesn't feel necessarily like an enemy, per se.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still a threat, but his goal isn't to, like, take over the world or anything like that. It's just to see progress happen.
Yeah. Through destroying civilizations. Which, it's certainly an interesting thing, you know, thinking about. I'm curious about at least learning of a few other societies that went through it, because everyone reacted differently. I mean, the lymph nodes essentially just all turned into monsters, but we, or the humans, made armored suits, which the overlords also thought was very interesting. They're like, fuck, why didn't we think of that? Oh yeah, because we only know how to do pottery. I don't even think they had technology. They'd make a driver out of clay and it wouldn't work. But like, it must be
pottery civilization.
To see how all the different societies react to it. I imagine that all the other ones just succumbed to becoming monsters, and we were the first ones to think of armored suits.
That's because that's awesome. Words. Fuck yeah, Kamen Rider.
What if we gave him jingles, too? Actually, someone else thought of the armored suits. You were the first one to give the song. the whole Mr. Dangerous thing, wasn't expecting that. Just gave him little names. It was fun.
After, like, so long just thinking, like, oh, he's an agent of the forest, he's a representation of the forest, actually being the forest did very much surprise me. I wasn't expecting flat out be the forest. But it's neat, but at the same time it's really weird when you watch the beginning of the show, he's just in this little DJ booth, and you're like, dude, that's a forest. Like, it's really weird. to think about that, but then you look at Michi and his little bowl cut, and you're like, oh, you're gonna be an asshole. So, the beginning of the show is just, like, flat out really weird once you know what's gonna happen later, but...
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't expect him to reveal it at that moment either. Like, all of a sudden, he just like, I am the forest! I'm like, wait, I'm not ready! You're not supposed to tell me yet! But, yeah, that was an interesting reveal. And Shinichi monologued. Oh, go ahead. Were you going to say something about Michi monologuing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can still talk about it now.
I know. that's been happening all episode. I had to drink some pop. Shit. What was I going to say?
Michi monologuing.
God.
I'm naked.
I love the internal dialogue between him and Ghost Takatora. This episode, just because he's, you know, Michi's talking about how Mai's the only one he has left and how he would, you know, give up his life for her and stuff like that. And Takatora's like, your life has no value. it's an unfair trade. You know, you're just going to die having accomplished nothing at all. It's
Michi's trolling himself.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Like, I feel like that's what Dawson would do, is just troll himself.
Well, that's what's interesting about it, is it's not really Takatora, unless ghosts are coming into this. Ghost chasers!
Yeah.
But, you know, it's what he's really thinking about himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see Takatora come back as Jam and then kill people.
That'd be fun. You've been jammed? Sorry.
Takatora, he can even say, like, come in and say, like, you've been jammed and stabbed.
Oh, man, if he came back, he could be, like, ghost jammed.
Speaking of jam, since we didn't mention it during the news, why didn't they just use that?
For Michi?
Instead of Yomo Hobo arms.
Hobo arms!
Because that's an extra figure they can sell.
Mr. Poverty!
Like, I don't know.
What is he anyway? What is this Loxie?
It's just apple. Dark apple.
It's just maybe apple, but black and pink.
I like to... Wait, do we know what it is, though? I mean, like,
no,
where...
No, there's, like, no
information. It'll be cigar, probably.
I like to... Because when I first saw it, someone's like, his helmet looks kind of like Duke. What if Ryoma gets the seed out of Mai, and then gets the rest of the golden fruit?
Maybe.
I could see it.
Don't be stupid.
It could be
Takatora, it could be Sagara, it could be Mai. Mai just goes evil and kills people. That'd be fun. Because you're not my favorite YouTuber and just kills them.
But yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. And, you know, in terms of Michi's monologue and whatnot, I think it was really interesting in this episode is the way I was looking at Michi changed. Not like I have sympathy for him, but, you know, before this it seemed like he was very much in control, except for seeing Takatora. But he was like, oh, I'm going to do this and make a deal with overlords and protect this one person. But in this one, it really does seem like, whether he's lying to himself or not, all he is fighting for at this point is Mai. Like, he does not seem that much in control anymore. He's very much on his last-ditch effort. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And
yeah, he completely acknowledges that everything he's tried has gone wrong at this point. And even his little inner Takatora is saying how, you know, this is essentially just the result of all of the backstabbing he's done. He's basically fucked up.
Yeah, he kind of defeated himself. Like, I've been waiting for Michi's defeat. Like, how would you want to see Michi defeated? It turns out he's just going to kill himself by using a bad lock seat. Technically, all Kota has to do is just run away until he runs out of life energy.
I'm fine with that.
This episode. Anything
else? We also had a little bit with Kaido, which is likely to lead into next week, but where he exposits that he doesn't really feel that the forest needs to be stopped. And I kind of like this idea of the only place that he really finds suitable for himself is in the wreckage of this old world. Which, I don't know, to me it kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Kaido, just given his personality, he's not a character who would likely have ever been satisfied with anything. So just being in a world of constant fighting in this apocalypse, it suits him.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense, and it reminds me of other characters from shows I watch, like Daryl from Walking Dead and Pope from Falling Skies, where they were kind of made for this type of world. But, you know, at the same time, I was kind of curious, because I know that he said this before when he got in on all this with the Genesis Driver crew, and he talked about how he just thought, you know, the world should fight and the weak should die out or whatever. But the past few weeks, it does seem like he's cared a little bit more. So I'm just wondering if maybe him deciding to completely throw it away again and not care has anything to do with him turning into an invest.
It might be his way of giving up. But, I mean, it's hard to tell with a character like him. It really is. 'Cause, I mean, I agree. It did feel like he was trying to, I don't want to say be more friendly, because it's not really the term I want, but
he was being more helpful.
Yeah, and now you have a sudden flip back again, but at the same time, he's been dealing with that cut for so long that it's hard to try to imagine what exactly is going on in his head, but I don't even know where I'm going with that.
He still wants power and to be the strongest.
Unlimited minutes.
I don't think the flipback is necessarily that weird, though. I mean, when he was helping and fighting with everyone else, that was because they were all fighting for a common goal. They don't want to be killed off by the overlords, and they don't want to be subservient to them either, which would definitely not be something that Kaido would want.
That is very
true. I can understand why he would help all of them out in order to do that, but still have a very different kind of goal in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, his goal had always been that. It just seemed like in this episode in particular, he was, like, really in your face about his political beliefs. Like, as before, you're just kind of hanging back. So, I mean, I definitely think that the invest thing could have, you know, it's obviously upsetting him. I would be upset, too. Because then my subtitles would only get translated part of the time. Because, I guess that's the limp language. Never mind. Don't listen to me. I don't know anything. But next week's going to be interesting if he goes full invest next week. And the preview almost makes it look like Michi dies, which at this point, nothing surprises me.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You could die.
I think Ryoma's going to be the final villain. Just because I haven't been taking him seriously, so I've been watching everybody else.
It's always a possibility.
Ryoma's just kind of there.
You know what's kind of funny is that I was thinking this week how it's weird that there's no overlords around, and then I remembered for like more than half the show we didn't have any sentient invests.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. But yeah, we're nearing the last little batch here, so it's going to be interesting.
Then we get cars.
Vroom, vroom.
Cookie right.
not being able to interpret pictures. This will be fun.
Oh, shit.
It's Ramekin, wait.
Right? Yeah, no. Did everybody watch Super Mega Force?
I forgot.
Next week.
I watched it. But...
Oh, okay. Anybody else watch it?
I watched it.
Okay. Let's do this.
How's it going? Okay, I got it. It's in my head again. Now it's time for Super Mega Force.
Hurry!
Too
fucking late.
I was trying to think of another word that wasn't some words. have.
Do you know what you're doing? I stopped
before they smothered it with a pillow.
All right, so because of Nickelodeon.com just being themselves, we got the episode a week early. This will air on Saturday. Today, if you're watching this on Saturday.
This sounds really bad when Dust talks about smothering things with a pillow.
this is the first new episode back, Power of Six. Orion gets Super Mega Gold, which he just calls himself Super Mega Force Gold.
It works out because the real first Gold Ranger wasn't even really a Gold Ranger, so it works.
That's true. This was kind of your typical post-Six Ranger episode where he's trying to blend in with the group and someone from the group has a problem with him, and that's Jake. And the Gokaiger episode had the same thing with Don thinking that guy was awesome and being jealous, more or less, of all of his abilities.
A few different people saying that it was out of place, but if I remember right, when Orion was introduced, Jake was jealous of him when Gio was taking him on that shopping trip and whatnot. So yeah. It just kind of carried over. And Jake's jealous if anyone even like thinks about looking at Gia, male or female. So regardless if he'd been jealous last time, it wouldn't have been out of left field.
Yeah.
So, like Guy, Orion has... I don't want to say Orion has weird abilities, because the Go-On-Wings key, RPM Gold and Silver, in Super Mega Force more or less exist because Gosei told them to fuse.
Fuse now! Fuse!
It just happened. The anchor key, I'm not sure how that happened.
Orion just smushed them all together in his hands.
He just silly puttied them together, I don't know. There's very little explanation. There's a bit in toward the beginning of the episode where he gets a belt.
Yeah, that was weird.
Even though he had a belt already. I get it was in Gokaiger, didn't they connect?
They connected
Guy's belt.
Like Navi did this thing and she pulled a little string from his belt to the chest and was like, "There, now you can use keys too."
What was that before? He used the
It was that episode.
Shinken Gold. It was that episode. Then how did that work in Gokaiger? I don't remember.
In Gokaiger, the first couple of times he transformed into other sixths, like Marvelous gave him the key. That's how they did the bit about no, you pulled the wrong key.
Okay.
Like he said, I need the one that looks like this, and Marvelous pulled one, and he's like, no, you pulled the wrong one.
Okay. So how did
he
do it.
The Sam? Didn't he change into Gold Samurai?
Yeah,
they did Samurai. Yeah, but how did he get the key in ours? I know, but how did he get it in ours? Did Troy give it to him?
I think it just happened. I thought I remembered the belt thing happening. That's why I was really confused.
Oh, but I don't know.
Regardless, it was meant to mirror that scene, even though here it was kind of weird because he was just receiving a belt that his suit had already.
Like, I thought it was going to be like, you could do all the Ranger keys.
Yeah, I think it would have been better if they'd have just said, here, we adjusted your belt so you can use the keys in the command center.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did Guy ever change into anybody beyond Six?
A couple times.
Yeah, because they did, like, Six color morphs or whatever. Like, everyone being red. And.
Okay. And I thought when he came in, when they were showing him something, I thought it was going to be the anchor key.
Right. That's what I thought. That was my idea, too, at the beginning. I thought he was like, oh, he's working on the anchor key. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope, he's working on a belt.
But, you know, given that Gosei made the keys, I really don't have too much of a problem with him being able to fuse them.
Yeah. Gosei more or less just does what he wants.
What was Gokaiger's explanation? The Go-On-Wing spirits just held hands? They're alive.
No,
Guy had the ability.
It was his imagination.
That's stupid.
I never said it wasn't. It was. Oh. but, I mean, as a whole, the episode was all right. We had Power Rangers Prism Force.
Oh, yeah.
Flashman.
people are flipping out again.
I liked it when he said something like flash your fists or whatever.
Yeah, because he said the weapons he called prism punch. And then he's, because the monster had fishy fists is what he kept calling his little fish arm. And then, so he said he has flashy fists, and of course it's Flashman. But that it doesn't surprise me a whole lot, because apparently this was one of Jason Smith's episodes.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And that's why I was like, yes.
So, Jason Smith knows what he's doing, so it didn't surprise me a whole lot. I thought it was kind of cool a little bit. But yeah, I didn't really have problems with the episode. I thought it was, for Super Mega Force, it was an alright episode. It wasn't...
Yeah, I liked it.
It wasn't super spectacular, but it wasn't bad, and I enjoyed it, so...
I don't know why Orion has to live in the school, and if he's going to live in the school, why is he sleeping in a locker? That seems unnecessary.
Because that's what he does.
Like, did they just not get enough use out of Reefside? oh, we're not using the set enough. Why don't we have Orion live here?
I don't know. I was wondering, they just really wanted to parody that in the beginning. They just really wanted to. But yeah, it was all right. I don't got a whole lot else.
I liked watching Orion living in a locker. I thought it was funny. He lives in a locker. He's brushing his teeth at the water fountain.
At least he's resourceful.
Yes. And then he gets Ernie a coffee, and he's like, "Here, Ernie, I got you a coffee. And cleaned your restaurant.
Because you're not doing shit. You're sleeping on the job." I like how he fell asleep on top of those girls or whatever, and then, when you cut back to him, they just left. They're like, "Okay, this is weird. They're never coming back here again. Let's report him to health department." I don't know why the health department would deal with sexual harassment, but...
Because you're stupid.
You never know, they could be expanding.
Alright, so...
Now it's time for
Ramble time.
Yeah!
We got quite a bit this week.
We got Pokemon.
I actually watched that in the hotel room, and I found it to be an enjoyable episode with Lucario freaking out.
Like, Lucario versus Lucario.
It's been a three-part
It's been going story forever. Arc, and she's still following them around.
Karina's still following them around, or they're following her around, technically.
But it
wasn't bad. I generally find Pokemon enjoyable when they do multi-parter stories. And I thought this one's kind of neat. I've always dug Lucario, and I like the fact that this shows kind of a different side of Mega Evolution. That it is risky, and it doesn't always work, and it actually takes strong bonds and training to actually pull off. It's not you got the Mega Stone.
It's not just all fun and games.
It's all fun and games until somebody Mega Evolves. Then it's just a game.
Or just ain't no game.
It was crazy, Karina's Lucario just, gets this, satanic look on its face.
They had, this... It was, a terrifying noise, music noise. Whenever the eyes would go red, it was like... I can't even do it. It sounded like it was out of The Shining. It was actually kind of disturbing. But yeah, it was actually a good episode this week. I forgot to think about it. But yeah, I actually watched it in the hotel room. I was waiting for everyone else to get out.
Yeah, I actually haven't been watching it. And so I watched the past three episodes yesterday, actually. So it's when you watch them all in a roll, it's actually quite an enjoyable little chunk. But yeah, I
don't know. And now they're going to go find some Mega Evolution expert to go help her. Calm Lucario.
It's gonna be Jenna.
That's another one of them. Why is it funny to me? So Cora or who?
Let's do who.
Okay.
Okay. Oh man, I guess.
I don't really care, that's why I asked.
So yeah. Doctor Who's back. I enjoyed this episode. It was a really weird like sort of getting used to him, because like at the beginning it was such a weird cold open, because you know I kind of expected it to almost be like between 10 and 11 where we picked up immediately after, and we sort of did, but there was this awkward thing where you had to find out that they picked up a dinosaur, and I had a hard time getting used to him at first, and it's like I gradually got used to him throughout the episode, but I still, like I mentioned on Twitter, I still didn't have that moment. Like I think 11's moment, well, it happened all throughout, but you know when he was up on the roof telling off the aliens, that was like the moment when you're like, oh, that's the Doctor. And I never really got that from this one, but I kind of think that might come later, because I think he's still trying to figure out who the fuck he is,
right?
Yeah. And something that really confused me is at the beginning he was so, I guess it's because regeneration, but he was so scatterbrained, and you had the I don't know how to fly the TARDIS. I was really unclear to who he was talking to, and I thought that that was going to be a bigger thing, and he was still mildly confused throughout the episode, but he just kind of woke up and was sort of gradually getting fine. And I guess that's because of the regeneration, but it just seemed like it was going to be a bigger deal, whereas it just kind of seemed to gradually go away. If you know what I mean? Like his whole memory lapses.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Like, I thought it was just going to be a bigger deal. Like, his brain being scrambled was going to be a bigger deal, and they were going to have to somehow get him to focus. And then it kind of just gradually happened where he, you know, sort of was – because I wasn't sure he was aware who Clara was, and he didn't seem to understand who he was talking to at the beginning, and then all of a sudden he's missing Amy.
Well, at the very beginning, he thought Clara was a regeneration of Handel's.
So. Oh, yeah. That's why it was so confusing.
That shit was hilarious. Like, but that's why, because, you know, I was watching it, and I'm like, I really didn't know what to expect, and especially, like, you get about halfway through the episode when he really starts being a little more doctory and a little less, like, a crazy person. I was like, all right, I can do this, this is pretty fun, I'm liking what he's doing.
I'm picking up what he's putting down.
Yeah, that's exactly whatever he just said. Let's go with that. But yeah, it was pretty nice. And the end where like she gets a call from Matt Smith.
I did not expect that.
I didn't.
He's
either.
Just like, "Hello, Colin from the Apocalypse." you're about to walk in, but it's all very timey-wimey. This episode, a lot of ways, very much felt like they were trying. Clara was representing the audience, and they're trying to get the audience to accept Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, like, look, I know he looks old, and he's not like a little pretty boy, but please love him. Please love him anyway. Give him a chance.
That's why I like the whole
is me.
The whole scene between her and Vestra. About how the Doctor sort of wears a vase, sort of like she wears a veil kind of thing, where he's doing it because it's easier for people to accept him like that, which kind of speaks towards the audience of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Especially the people who are like, I don't want to watch this because he's not young anymore.
Yeah, Alison McGuinness.
shit. Last one of the sentence I was about to say.
No, I picked up on that, I really liked it, because it's so true. Like, leading up to this episode, all you get was all of, like, the very shallow Who fans that are like, oh, he's not hot, I can't be attracted to him, fuck this show, and it's like, well,
I can't
get out.
Figure
you're,
myself
you're
watching
not a
this
fan
show
for
anymore.
The right reason, then. I'm
confused about, though.
The connotations that it represented in the episode.
Does
like
Clara...
just kept saying, like, I'm not your boyfriend. Please stop.
Does Clara... Clara?
That's like when Clara and Cora have sex.
Does Clara remember her... where she spread through time? Because I was under the impression that she knew what all of his regenerations looked like, so I don't know why she was so surprised. I mean, I don't know if she's meant to remember all the time she spent as different people. I'm very unclear about that when she spread through time. But I remember, you know, when they were in his time stream and they saw the War Doctor, she said, I don't recognize that one. Like, she knew what all the other ones looked like. And so she obviously has seen, at least seen his other faces. So I don't understand. I mean, I like what they did with it, and it's certainly understandable, her reactions with everything, and she probably had feelings for him. But at the same time, it just seemed like such an overreaction, because it's like she knows that he's changed ages before, right? So I don't know. And I'm just really unclear as to whether she's supposed to remember, like, being Oswin and the other Clara and all the other dozens of ones that happened. I don't know.
I don't either, but I think Brian knows, and he's a homo.
I don't think anyone knows.
Holy cow.
Nobody knows anything.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's ever been stated.
I'll have to look it up. I'll look it up later.
Go look it up and then report back to us with a 500-word essay next week.
No. let's see.
I've given
else?
You an assignment. I will take points off if you don't do it.
The enemies were the clock people from that Girl in the Fireplace episode.
That was such a weird thing to bring back.
And they never even really, like, outright said it. Like, he's just like, this seems familiar. Oh, well, it's probably nothing.
Wait, say that again? I missed the beginning of that sentence. I was distracted.
One?
Whatever.
When he was talking about how, because the name of the Girl in the Fireplace was one of the things he picked up, and he said it seemed familiar, and then he was like, oh, it's probably nothing. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing right now. He's touching Brian inappropriately.
It was one of those, like, cool little Easter egg things that fans of the show would recognize, but it wasn't pivotal to the point where it mattered.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was kind of cool. Like, I recognized him as the clockwork droids right away. And so I was just kind of sitting here going, that's a really weird enemy to bring back. And I mean, it still is. That fact didn't change, but I like
I also
how they hinted at it.
Liked the comparisons of how human is it after he keeps continuing to replace himself, mm-hmm. sort of comparing it to how many times the Doctor's regenerated. Yeah. And did you see that scene where he's like, "I've seen this face before"?
Yeah, because I mean, we know that Capaldi is the guy from Pompeii, and they've stated that it's going to be explained why he looks like the guy from Pompeii, and so I think it's kind of neat that the seeds are being planted already, and yeah. It's like, I recognize myself, but I don't know why, or when, or what, because I mean, for the Doctor, it's been so incredibly yeah. long time since the events of the Pompeii episode happened.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to why, honestly. I think that'll be one of the more interesting reveals later on in the show, because I want to know.
I never know where the faces come from.
They're just there. But yeah, I enjoyed this episode. I like the beginning when they're like, we need the Doctor. Yeah, I'm here with the Doctor. Okay, where is he and who's this old guy? that's the Doctor. Well, what?
Oh, here we go again.
here it goes. Anyway, but yeah, it was a pretty good premiere, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. And I really did like him. Like, I think he's going to be a really interesting Doctor, because he's got this sort of interesting little edge to him, but he also can definitely handle the sort of comedic elements and quips to it, which I actually really wasn't overly concerned about after the whole kidneys bit. Like, it was just that one line. I'm like, okay, I'm not so worried about that now.
Now, I wonder what's up with that lady at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I was just about to say
yeah.
that.
In heaven?
Any ideas?
No, there's all different heaven dimensions.
I said we send Dawson to heaven and see what happens.
Everyone gets their own heaven. You know this.
Oh, you're right.
So, I don't know. We got to call Cass up. We'll probably end up getting Misha. It's going to be difficult. But, yeah, that looks to be possibly the, you know, maybe overarching story for this. I'm not sure.
She's going to keep collecting the enemies that the Doctor defeats. And then they're going to have a big movie Tyson at the end of the
show. Oh, God. Villain Tyson.
Villain Tyson. Twison? Tyson
Twison. Villain Twison.
Because she kept calling him her boyfriend. And then it's like, oh, because he loves me so much. But I'm under the impression that it's a very facetious thing, that it's not actually true, obviously, but...
We don't know. He could have met her already. Maybe hasn't met her. Maybe is meeting her. I don't know. We don't know these things.
We had that chick from the big space cube from Time of the Doctor, so who knows?
In due time, find out.
In due time?
In due time.
But no, I agree with what you said. I really enjoyed his performance, and I think it's going to be a fun ride with him as the Doctor. I enjoyed what I saw.
I kind of like the idea of taking a little bit longer to figure out who he is. I mean, like, Eleven always had little bits where he'd be like, oh, that's new or something. But within the first episode or two, he kind of got the gist for who he was. And I kind of like the idea that this one's really just trying to get his footing. It's different.
I'm Scottish. I can complain now.
Yes.
Look at these eyebrows. They're so angry.
Like, that shit was funny. Like, I really enjoyed everything about, like, this whole Discovery episode.
No ginger comment this time.
That poor dinosaur. It's like, you know I speak dinosaur. I'm sorry.
I actually quite enjoy the final confrontation between him and the cyborg, though. Mm-hmm. Just him sitting there pouring a drink very casually. He's like, here, have a drink, because I have this very bad feeling that I'm going to have to kill you. I like that quite a bit. And I like how ambiguous it was towards whether or not the cyborg jumped or if he pushed him.
Yeah. I'm guessing we might find out, since he's alive? Question mark? That was definitely an interesting moment. Alright, anything else before we move along?
I just want more Doctor. It's almost time for more Doctor.
Kevin doesn't care how old he is.
I don't care how old he is. I just want to love him.
Kevin's just looking for a sugar daddy.
I wish.
Speaking of sugar daddy, Cora.
How the hell do you get sugar daddy out of that?
I don't know. So these episodes were awful. I mean, if Aang had got poisoned, he clearly would have won way quicker with his 11-year-old tenacity. I mean, come on. This show's ridiculous.
Nothing beats the original.
11-year-old tenacity.
I don't know, but it seems like something a fan would say. Although, I have to say really quick, I've seen a lot more positive responses to this season, and it makes me happy. I've seen a lot less of Aang this, Aang that, the season sucks. I've seen a lot of positive responses, so that's good news. These episodes were great. I really, really like them. I think it's funny how we were talking about how we couldn't see them being taken down, and they were. I mean, the Red Lotus is still out there, but the main enemies were. Boa literally put a sock in it. So
they
went down.
They weren't just captured either. the majority of them died. Pretty substantial deaths. I mean, the combustion bitch.
That was awesome.
Blew up her head. She blew up her own head.
We didn't visually see it, but you know that's what happened, and so you have this mental picture in your head, and it's just so
awesome.
Not kid show.
Yeah,
but I love how that she wasn't like the most important character out of the four of them. She had probably the least personality, mm-hmm. but I like how her death kind of lent towards Zaheer kind of learning the weightlessness thing. They didn't outright state that she was his earthly tie, but you can gather that fact just from what took place. She dies and he finally learns, hey, I can fly, kind of thing.
I believe.
Peter Pan.
You know what's funny is that's something I can't believe I've never thought about. That makes complete sense that airbenders would be able to do that. Yes, Peter Pan. He's Rumpelstiltskin's evil dad.
You can fly, you can fly.
But, you think they'd be able to control the air around him.
Things. It's the same as having wings.
And do that. And then try to kill your grandson.
All the joy you'll find when you leave the world behind and give your kids goodbye. You can fly, you can fly, you can
just
fly.
Just have to beat it out.
But the other two, not counting Zaheer, had pretty awesome fights too between Mako and Bolin. I mean,
Mako electrocuted her.
Yeah, which was
I wondered why he hasn't been using lightning bending.
Well, I mean, we know lightning's supposed to be kind of a harder element.
Yeah, but especially really fighting her all the time. And Bolin magma bended. He found his calling. It was so good. I love that.
Bolin's a badass.
I kind of thought it was going to happen. Like, when the magma was chasing him constantly, I'm like, Bolin's got this. This is going to happen. So I thought that was really neat. Because even though I could sort of see it coming in this episode, I like that they've been sort of having this background arc of Bolin wanting to metal bend, but then ends up his side earth bending specialty is actually lava bending.
So it's cooler kind of bending too. I thought it would have been kind of boring if Bolin learned metal bending. I mean, that would have made two main characters, Korra and Bolin, could have metal bend, and then, you know, you have a whole bunch of other metal benders. But yeah. Only, like, two people can lava bend.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is. It's very cool. Korra probably learned it, too, if she ever gets better.
Sue was like, I always knew you were destined for great things.
Let's see. So much else. I'm glad Tenzin didn't die, so that was happy. Let's see. Well, poor Korra. I hope in the season 4 finale someone doesn't try to steal her avatar-ness. People just keep going after it. Like, every season. And she's gone through a lot. Like, we never saw everything Aang went through in the years we didn't see him. But in series, she's gone through way more shit.
Yeah.
That was perfect unison.
That poor girl.
But
Those poor people. The
final fight with her and Zaheer was awesome. It reminded me of a Dragon Ball fight. Because all the flying around and the hitting rocks, because they were constantly getting knocked into fucking mountain phases in Dragon Ball. And it was awesome. And I love how Korra was sort of in this enraged avatar state. And at the same time, she was also battling poisoning. And I even liked seeing – sounds really kinky when I say it like this – but seeing her fight in handcuffs. Because it was really cool to see her have to, like, firebend with her feet and stuff. There were some great fight scenes in this episode.
I like how just feral her avatar form was.
Yeah.
In this one. She's very animalistic, just very, like, complete rage. I really like it. There's so much about that I just really enjoy. I didn't catch on that it was actually mercury poisoning until they revealed that it was metal-based.
I saw this comment. I just randomly thought of it. You know how they kept saying how the chains are platinum and she couldn't get through them? They said it like 10 times. Someone was like, they said the chains are platinum. Gen 4 remakes confirmed. And you know what's funny is I thought for some reason she might was going to bend them or something because they kept saying platinum so many times. There's no way you're getting through. Those are platinum. Hey, did you hear those platinum? Those are platinum. I'm like, well, something's going to happen. They keep saying platinum. Is she going to be the first platinum?
They're going to turn purple.
But I love the hallucinations while she's under the influence of the poison, too. Because you just kind of see each of their faces bend and twist into, you know, Amon and Unalaq and Vatu.
And all of those three have tried to take her powers before.
And I like that that's sort of her biggest fear is kind of coming to terms with the fact that the Avatar is really not very needed anymore. I mean, to a lot of people, she's kind of not needed. And even now, with the final scene of this season, how, you know, now you have these other people who are willing to take up the fight and willing to sort of keep people protected. It does feel more and more like the Avatar just doesn't have a place here anymore.
Yeah, it's funny because in the original, it was such a huge deal because the Avatar had been gone so long and he was sort of the savior after all this darkness. But here, like you said, so many people are willing to step up. And the way I kind of see it often is that she's sort of the power in the fight, and because no one else can bend our four elements. So that's where I see her main strength being a lot of the time, is whenever there's a difficult fight, I'm like, we need to get Korra in here because she can do all four at once. But that being said, she's done a lot of good in her run so far. And she's the first Avatar now to save the world twice since Wan without having her previous lives. So that's cool. What else? Any, you know what's funny? I mentioned before how I wondered why Mako never lightning bended. I didn't think about it till this episode. I wondered why she never used the Avatar state. Because she's gone up against these guys several times. And the Avatar state obviously packs that extra punch, and she was throwing that shit out so much last season. I mean, obviously part of the lesson last season was don't be so casual with it, but
yeah.
I think she could have used it
at least
to
once.
Get out of some things. And when she was fighting, I kept waiting for her to do that thing that both her and Aang have done where they just surround themselves in this spinny of all the elements because it seems really useful. I'm like, when are you going to do that thing? It works. Just, oh, there's some water. Just grab it. Oh, no, okay. The thing with the spinning. No, all right. She never did it. I kept waiting. But, oh, so good.
But, I don't know, next season's called Balance.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard that yet.
Saw it on Wikipedia.
Cool. It's reliable. No, but I believe you for now. But, you know, I mentioned on Twitter how I get definitely the change title making sense because of the spirit world and the world changing now with the Air Nation back and the Avatar taking a step back at the end. But there's so much focus on the Air Nation. This one really should have been called Air, you know, with them coming back and them sort of being pivotal in the final fight and then helping Korra after the final fight. And I get why the first one was obviously called it, because we didn't have an air book in the first one, and that was the only element she had mastered, but there was a lot of focus on the Air Nation.
Well, plus it also seemed like a continuation from the last one, because they had, you know, water, earth, fire, and then air. But yeah.
And then they ran out of elements, so they're just like...
And they're like, oh, fuck.
But yeah.
I like spirits.
Evolution.
I like how much Jinora looks like Aang.
I know. I really noticed that.
We're watching it and Kat just goes, her hair's gone. but I kind of hope that she has a pretty substantial role in season 4, because they've been kind of building up Jinora's character more and more.
Yeah.
I think it'll be an interesting kind of storyline to see how, since she's an Air Master now, how that works into trying to rebuild the Air Nation. And I like how they're taking the Air Nomad concept and kind of turning it into like a
Jedi thing,
a one-sided Avatar. Like, we're gonna carry the spirit of the Avatar within our Air Nomad sort of, not religion, but ways. So I think that's kind of neat, and it opens up a lot of possibilities for the next book.
I thought it was kind of a neat sort of, for lack of a better word, compromise of what the Air Nation is, because I think it's a good mix of staying with its roots while also, you know, changing, because everyone's culture is different now and everything. And I'm confused. Obviously, I know Korra is, you know, ailing. But did she lose her Avatar powers? Were they too late? Can she just do water now, or is she still the Avatar?
I doubt she lost her powers. That wasn't really anything that they specifically stated.
They said that they could get rid of her if they killed her in the Avatar state, so I was wondering if they just missed it. Maybe, like, she lost her Avatar powers. I don't know. It was ambiguous. If she ever did lose her powers, like her Avatar powers, would she at least get to keep water? These are the things I wonder.
I don't know why you're wondering them. I never really got that impression from it.
Dawson's kind of an idiot, in case you haven't noticed.
I do, however, like how kind of bittersweet everything was in the end, because it really isn't a very happy ending for her.
It's not. Yeah.
They made her look very sickly. She never has
a happy ending.
She has happy endings.
It was pretty uplifting last season.
And the first season.
Yeah, in the first season too. She's like, I restored all your bending. So yeah, this.
But I mean, it's such a, like, there's so many mixed feelings, because on one hand you feel so happy for the Air Nation and for Janor and everything, and then you just kind of pan over and look at Korra's face, and it's very clear that it's not a very positive end for her. Not to mention, I mean, you start to think about everything else that's going on in the world. The whole Vine thing from the very first few episodes hasn't been solved yet.
Red Lotus still exists.
The Earth Kingdom's in total ruin. Like, it's the world.
Well, that bitch ate the bear, so they deserved it.
The whole city.
Fuck the city. They let the little bitch eat the bear.
I was going to make a point, and then I decided that my point was wrong.
Yeah, so but there's a lot going on, so I'm really interested to see where they go next season, like whether there'll be any kind of new threat, or if it's just going to kind of evolve out of this.
I feel like there's going to be a threat of some sort, but since this is, like, the last that we could see of the Avatar world, outside of maybe comics, I personally kind of want the next season to be a little bit lighter on the threat of world domination thing, and more of a pretty deep sub-story about rebuilding the world, because, I mean, like you said, Aerosol said, the Earth Nation's in ruins, the Air Nomads are going off on their journey of world restoration. Who knows what's up with Korra? So you've got so much open at the end of this book that I think to cloud book four with, like, a big overarching world domination plot and villain, I think would be a little bit of a bummer. I'd rather see, like, the villain of the next book just be kind of, in essence, the world itself adjusting to all of these changes that book three change brought.
Yeah,
it lived up to its name.
Yeah, well, I mean,
just like the name says, I imagine a lot of it's going to be about restoring that balance. Mm-hmm. In one way or another, whether it's returning the world to how it was or changing it in some new way. But we still, as far as villains go, I mean, this season wasn't about world domination. It was about world liberation in a way. But we still have them. We still have the Red Lotus. But by the way, did anybody notice the really shifty metal bender guard in this episode?
Yes.
She was just sort of there, and then she didn't amount to anything in this episode.
Like, I was kind of, like, eyeballing her the entire time. She's like, because she said her name. I'm like, oh, you got a name. You're important. And Sue's just like, no, you stay here. And then we never heard from her again. I was like, oh, she's going to turn him in, or she's going to backstab him or something. I was, like, expecting all this, and nope. She was just there. But maybe next season, maybe, I don't know, but no, I'm definitely with you there. I was expecting something out of her, and we got nothing, so. Alright, so now that I'm done rambling about said bitch, I think that about does it for ramble time. There's no Facebook question up, because Dawson forgot.
Again?
So that will be a thing again next week.
God damn it.
So for now, it's time for
final thingies. I got a thingy and it's not final.
Again, Facebook question, if that actually happens. And the Morphicon movie footage should be up by the time the next episode airs, since I'll be working on that this weekend. And I think that about does it.
Yeah.